B-Pod Studios.
The appropriate fifth caller to that line. We'll get you up after we speak to our good friend Adam Kaplan. And ladies and gentlemen, Adam Kaplan joining us now on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Adam Kaplan, Inside the Birds podcast. And Inside the Birds will be on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock with Jeff Mosher as well. Adam, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you. Yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about tonight and obviously in the segment. And you know, we'll do it, by the way. Jeff Mosher and I will be on every Monday morning at 8 a.m. throughout the Eagles season and far as they go. And this result clearly was not what anyone was expecting. I'm still kind of shocked that they lost this game. The way that they lost it was also very disappointing, very shocking. And looking at the responses to social media, people are not happy, to say the least.
No, not at all. And Adam, we are thrilled to have you and Jeff and Inside the Birds podcast to be a part of the Fanatic family. I know we talked to Jeff last week. We're happy to speak with you today. And by the way, I caught some of the pregame show. You guys were looking good. You guys
appreciate
looked sharp.
That.
Look,
yeah.
The production quality was great. Everything was awesome. You guys were great.
Thanks so much. Yeah, so that show that we do from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., it's myself, Mosher, Greg Cosell from NFL Films and the NFL Matchup Show on ESPN was phenomenal. He did great work on Wentz, which we talked about, and we'll get to that, obviously, what it looked like yesterday. Then Trey Thomas, his offensive line breakdowns were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the bottom line is we're really pleased, and I appreciate you bringing that up.
We certainly know that here on this program, absolutely. Now, yesterday's game, you said you expected to win. Going into the game, I expected to win. Then no Miles Sanders, no Lane Johnson. And I had the Eagles winning this game by 6, 23-17. And then when I saw both of those guys weren't playing, that's where I started to really worry. What was the big concern for you going into this game with no Miles Sanders and no Lane Johnson?
It was really the right side of the line. Two guys who had never started an NFL game. Jack Driscoll, the fourth-round pick out of Auburn, and Nate Herbig, who was an undrafted free agent who made the roster, who's a guard, really, quite frankly, who they tried to convert to center to back up Kelsey, but he clearly was not ready yesterday. He didn't have a great game. Driscoll did some good things. You know, he left the game. He has a minor issue. He'll be fine. But that's why it's funny. You gave out the score. I thought they were going to blow him out until I knew Lane Johnson wasn't playing. Actually, it reported early on Sunday that Lane was telling his teammates he was going to be able to play, and actually Jason Kelsey confirmed that after the game. But what I didn't know about what Kelsey said is that Lane had some swelling in that ankle. Now, we did report on Inside the Birds that Lane had what's called tightrope surgery, which is what Tua had, and Jalen Hurts ironically had it at Alabama, where they fuse some things together in your ankle, and you get a really good stability in 4 weeks, not 8 to 12 weeks in normal ankle surgery. He just was not ready yesterday. He tried to gut it out. You know, Lane tries to be there for his teammates. It just didn't work, and by the way, it's not a given he plays at home against the Rams this week. So they clearly, guys, have some issues in the offensive line, particularly on the right side.
So what are they going to do here? I mean, you got to solve a running back problem here with Miles Sanders. Hopefully that's alleviated soon. And then do they add offensive line depth? What's the move from here on out?
Yeah, let's get to running back. So Miles Sanders, we're told, has a grade 2 hamstring strain. It's almost to the 4-week mark. That is what I'm told by an athletic trainer that works on NFL players, that it shouldn't be any more than 4 weeks. We're at the 4-week mark. I don't see why he wouldn't play this week, but until they get there this week, they have to see where the fluid is in that hamstring. But he was close. In fact, I'm told he looked great in Thursday's practice, so he's really close. Look, Boston Scott's his backup. He didn't look very good. I know everybody and their mother wants to run the football, folks, just to run the football. In this town, you know, we all grew up here, right?
Right.
Run the football. Well, you don't run the football just to run it when you don't run it very well. But here's the other problem. The quarterback's mechanics were off yesterday. After the first quarter and a half, Wentz's mechanics regressed. I'm told that it was particularly with his footwork. Folks, when you watch Carson Wentz, watch his base. Watch his left foot and his right foot. Look how wide that they are. They need to be closer together, and he widened his stance, and the ball sailed on him. I also don't think the timing was there with his young receivers, who, by the way, Rager had a great training camp, and so did Hightower. They did not. There was something off with their timing, particularly with Hightower. He did not play well. So that's puzzling. In terms of signing an offensive lineman, they did work out Cordy Glenn, you know, a couple weeks ago, the former first-round pick of the Bills, who was also with the Bengals. It did end well with him. The Bengals, they cut him. They had some issues with him. But they worked him out, so they know that he's out there. But he's a left tackle, guys. He's not a right tackle. Jason Peters is their left tackle. There's one thing before we move on here that the Eagles need to figure this out. were you playing Jordan Mailata? You did see him come in for Driscoll, and he had one really beautiful snap, but they have to make a decision here. Do they think he's a future starter, potential starter, or don't they? Because the kid is really gifted. I know they only spent a seventh-round pick, but they've invested in him in terms of practice time, and they really like him. But for whatever reason, they will not give him a chance to start if Johnson won't play. If he's not playing this week against the Rams, we'll have to see through practice. But for the life of me, I don't know why they won't do it. I'm told those last 2 weeks were terrific in practice.
Real quick, who did you think was better at right tackle? Did you think it was Driscoll or Mailata?
I thought Driscoll. You know, I'm told that Driscoll had some really good snaps.
He did early, that's for sure.
Yeah, he did, and then he had some snaps he'd like to have back. But Mailata, from an athletic and size and strength standpoint, it's not even close.
And then what happened with Matt Pryor? I thought all along, first off, you're starting right guard, then you're left tackle, and then right guard again, and then he wasn't. What happened there?
So Mosher and I know for a fact that Pryor, to answer your question, did not have a great training camp. If you graded the backup lineman, he would be closer to the bottom than the top. I'm just talking about practice performance in training camp, because mm-hmm. you didn't have a preseason and offseason. So, Mark, this is where not having an offseason, I'm told that the snaps in the offseason, we're talking about May camps and June camps and the mandatory camp, you're looking at 250 to 300 snaps that you're missing. That crushes young guys like Pryor, Herbig, Mailata, Sua Peta, who did dress yesterday. These guys need these snaps, and Jack Driscoll, of course. So I think this has hurt them. I don't think there's any question. This is the part we didn't know, Mark. We didn't know what would you know, when you don't have an offseason, you really do wonder what's missing and what's going to hurt them. The offensive line, young guys, lack of snaps in the offseason, that crushed them.
Adam, I don't know what maybe you heard about what happened with Zach Ertz before the game yesterday and Howie Roseman, but his performance yesterday, I described it as he was just mopey out there, it seemed. His head was down an awful lot. He was shaking his head when Carson threw behind him. He just didn't seem to be there yesterday. You have anything more on that?
Yeah, I mean, the body language, Bob, I know. I saw he had the drop, which is uncharacteristic. He has great hands, by the way. Just he had a drop that he liked to have back. That was a key drop. But look, the issue Zach has with the front office is very simple. He's not been offered, I'm told, the kind of contract that he deems is fair. The club wants to do a deal that's closer to the deal that Travis Kelce got, which is very team-friendly with the Chiefs, and he doesn't want that deal. He wants something that will keep him an Eagle for life, where he's getting proper respect, and he's not getting George Kittle's deal. And by the way, I'm told he's not asking for that deal. He wants something that's better than Austin Hooper's deal, which is $10.5 million. Somewhere probably around $13 million. But the real issue here, guys, is the third year, 2022. That's the key year for the Eagles, because if Zach were to suffer injuries or regress, they're probably going to want to get out of the deal. And you saw yesterday. This is the crux of the matter, guys. Dallas Goedert was terrific yesterday. He had his breakout game. We've been waiting for this. He had a calf injury, I'm told, that really, really cut him down last season, particularly the first half. He just could not get over. He actually suffered that calf injury the first couple days of training camp last year, and had a setback in week two against Atlanta. It was never right to midseason. We saw what this kid could be. So if you're the Eagles, how do you pay two tight ends? It's very, very difficult. No one really does that, and that's the issue that the Eagles have now of trying to extend Ertz, potentially Goddard after the season.
Speaking with Adam Kaplan inside the Birds podcast, which you can also hear tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock, as you can throughout the football season on Monday nights right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Adam, do you ultimately see a deal getting done with Zach Ertz, or do you think he ends up walking?
Well, he's got 2 years left, so the Eagles have the leverage here in terms of his contract. And, you know, Zach is on record saying he's just going to play this year out very, very hard and see what happens. Just one thing from an Eagles standpoint, they really do want to extend his contract, but they want it on their terms right now. And when you have 2 years left, and then you have Goddard, who looks like he's got a chance to be really good, you're kind of in a tough way. Both sides are. I understand both sides completely. But to get a deal done, they're just going to have to do a deal where Zach gets assurances that he's going to be on the roster in 22. The 22-year, folks, because his deal expires after 21, giving him guaranteed money this year is completely irrelevant. It doesn't matter. They were never going to cut him anyway. Mm-hmm. It's really the guaranteed money for 2022. It's completely different than NBA contracts.
Sure, sure.
There's a lack of guaranteed money for long-term in non-quarterback deals.
When we've talked about Carson Wentz's footwork, we talked about the offensive line and their struggles. Doug Peterson, and then, yes, you mentioned running the football. if not just to make sure you're not getting your quarterback hit again, maybe run it. And even though Boston Scott wasn't there, you just were down to Corey Clement, basically. What would you have liked to see more from Doug and the offensive play calling going into yesterday's game?
Mark, I'm going to bring up a point that Mosher made, which is probably one of the best points I've made from anyone I've spoken with.
Mm.
Jeff said that where the heck, and I believe, this is so true, where was the intermediate passing game? And I'm not talking about the tight ends. Where were the slants to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who didn't have a target in there? Jalen Reagor in a slant, who's by the way, he may be under 5'11", but he's really strong physically. Now, Hightower had the drop. That was a crosser. This is where not having Alshon Jeffery, someone told me last night, who I really respect, they needed some possession receiver to make some possession receiver catches. They didn't have that. We don't talk about Jeffery a lot in this town. But I'll tell you what, this is where they would have needed him, because they've got a bunch of young receivers who didn't show up yesterday. They really needed Alshon in this game. He's not ready yet, but the Eagles believed all along he'd be back before 6 weeks. But he's not even practicing yet, so there's no exact timeline on him yet.
Adam, is one of the reasons we don't see a lot of slants from these guys, and we were calling for it earlier this morning also, is that they don't trust Carson Wentz throwing to a guy on the move?
No,
all that much?
I don't believe that at all. But Bob, here's the issue though, in what you said. Carson, his refusal, this is something I brought up on our show since we started in 18. His refusal to check the ball down, I get it. Deshaun Watson is the same way. The strong arm special throwers, they want to make the big play. In the West Coast offense, Bob, outlets are always building. I remember Marty Borningweg telling me this 15 years ago. They're always built into the West Coast offense. Check the ball down, particularly when you're not as accurate. Check the ball down. And Boston Scott is really good in the screen game. Now, their screen game was atrocious yesterday. Let's call it like it is. Doug Peterson, I don't think he really helped them. And Jeff and I said on our show that dropped this morning at 6 a.m., which you could get on any platform, including YouTube. We said it. They got out-coached. I probably said they've been out-coached 3 years in the 5 years that Doug has been here. This is one of them. And another thing, before we get to defense, what did you do to help your quarterback in this game? I don't know. I mean, yeah, was Carson off? Is it mechanics? Absolutely. You can't defend it. But what did you do to help your quarterback? That's something Doug and all their offensive coaches, and they got a lot of them.
Yeah.
They got to look at themselves in this game.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned Marty Morningweg, and he's back with the team.
Marty Ball's back.
I didn't see a lot of that, the ability to check down. There was one play, third and four, I believe it was, with Carson Wentz in the third quarter. Deshaun Jackson wide open for a check down in the flat, and I don't even think Carson looked his way. But, I mean, we'll continue, and we can talk about the game film and all that stuff a little bit later. But, Adam, when it comes to this team, I know some people, week one, still, they're walking the plank. They're jumping off the bandwagon.
They are.
And that's the fun we can have. But
we will tonight, believe me, at 6 o'clock.
I'm sure. But, Adam, when it comes to this team, how concerned should Eagles fans be going forward?
Well, because it's week one and they play the Rams, who are coming off a pretty impressive win against the Cowboys. Look, if you go 0-2, I know the Bengals are coming in week three and they're bad. But, you know, the history of 0-2 teams since 1990 making the playoffs, the number is well below 50%. It's not going to be easy. But this team has been resilient under Doug Peterson. He's a terrific head coach. I know we're all beating him up today. Doug rallies the troops. They believe in him. The problem that you have is, guys, that there's nothing they can do to overcome these issues on the right side of their offensive line. If Lane Johnson doesn't play, or if he plays but he's not healthy, they got a major issue at right guard right now. That's not going to be able to be correct unless you sign someone who you believe in. So you kind of have what you have. They got to get healthier, and they've got to, and by the way, I do want to crowbar this in here. How in the world do you not get a turnover on defense?
I don't know.
-3, the turnover battle in the history of the National Football League, if you lose the turnover battle, you lose over 75% of the time. So that's it. They play poorly, but it sure as heck didn't look like that after a quarter and a half. I thought they're going to win 34-0. I mean, what did you guys think when you saw them up 17-0?
I thought it was game, set, and match. Thought it was over. Yeah.
Exactly.
And another thing, Adam, let's circle back to Carson a little bit. And you say he had a bad game yesterday. We'll all agree on that. And you're talking mechanics. This guy's in his fifth year. He's not making smart decisions. Are there more long-term problems than we're seeing? Or is it just that he's had a bad game yesterday?
Bob, occasionally the mechanics become an issue. It's particularly with his footwork. This has happened really last season. In mid-season last year, Greg Cosell brought up on our show yesterday, the Inside the Birds pregame show, that there were some significant issues with Wentz's mechanics in mid-season last year. Then it got corrected, and you saw how well he finished the season. See, In this town, we bring up the lack of pass options last season. When they were really bad at receiver, they had all these street free agents on the field. That's true that these guys had to play, but that had nothing to do with improper mechanics. This is on Wentz. And here's another point that someone pointed out to me, who I respect. Since John DeFilippo left after the 17th season, Wentz's mechanics have steadily regressed a little bit here and there. Not all the time, but here and there. And here's the question. How is he being coached? What is Doug Peterson, the head coach? I know that Press Taylor coaches him day to day. What are you doing as a head coach to make sure Wentz's mechanics get better? This is where being a head coach, you got to do a better job here. It's just not acceptable. Doug's got to do a better job here from a day to day and getting involved. I know you don't need to be in the quarterback's ear a lot. That's one thing you don't want to do. But you got to make sure the message is clear here. We're not accepting that your footwork is not consistent. That's got to be corrected. And the message has got to be stronger.
I can't wait to listen to you and also Jeff Mosher last night or tonight at 6 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic inside the Birds podcast. Adam Kaplan, Jeff Mosher right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Great stuff. Can't wait to hear you guys again tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.